Okay, so I have a I we you did this last time, so I have to do it this time. What I meant to say was, okay. What I meant to say, I misquoted my wife, and that's a very dangerous thing
You
as us.
didn't. You
I did.
didn't. Okay.
What I meant to say was that she does not say she's going to bed with Master Chief.
You got in trouble there.
Didn't get in trouble. She just said, "That's not what I say."
No, you got in trouble
No, I
for
didn't get in
sure,
trouble.
sir.
I don't get in trouble at this point in my life. She said, and to quote, she said,
Yeah, I can't wait for this to be corrected.
"I go to bed with Master Chief staring at me."
Staring at. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what I meant to say was, it's such a great segment. So glad we do it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Codified. We're back for number three, which, to be honest, I didn't know we would make it to this point, but because if we told you the backstory of how we got here, you wouldn't believe us, but we got here and here we are. So thanks for joining. And you guys keep listening, guys. We love it. And we get fact checked, you know, whether it be from each other or from our wives or from you. So you just let us know anyway. Where are we going tonight, clock out?
Man, we've talked about this for a long time. And we've actually talked about everything that we want to talk about for a long time. But the first thing, we're going to do little sips and dips.
That's right. Which we got to say what we're sipping on first. So
Yeah. What are you rocking?
I'm rocking and deluxe with the sound. Oh,
Ooh.
yeah, that's a Dr. Pepper Zero. Okay, so I've been exploring the zero sugar route because y'all know me. If you know me at all, this is the dirty, this is the dirty bit. Yeah, I'm a sucker for soda, so I'm weaning myself off. I'm going to like the zero, which I know is still not good. Everybody has a debate on like what should and shouldn't be
Yes.
drank. So yes, I'm sipping a DP Zero. What about you, sir?
Well, I'm not as disciplined as you are, brother, but I'm going with the old because I'm 12, Cherry Coke.
Yes, you did. We are, man, I tell you what, we do need to tell everyone about a brocation and what that is at some point. But I do feel like we've known this about each other for a very long time. Of the 22 years that we've known each other, whatever we're going on, we like a good soda pop. That's
Dude,
where we land. But more importantly for this segment, it's about the dip.
Yes, the
So
dip.
I have my dip just off camera. I'll probably mute the mic of who's chewing at one time. So why don't you, what you got over there? What you dipping? What you dipping?
Okay, so lately, one of my I've only had it twice in about the last 6 months, but one of my shops is by this new gas station called CEFCO. And I've never seen a CEFCO until it just built one. Well, one day for lunch, I went to CEFCO, and I don't eat gas station food or anything. Not that I judge it, just don't normally eat it.
I eat quite a bit of it, actually.
Okay, well, they have
But that's fine.
wings.
Ooh, that's
Wings.
kind of risky. Gas
But
station wings. The fact that you're even thinking about it.
they fry it right there, though. Like right in that
Oh, so
moment.
it's like
They have a
accountability.
kitchen. Yeah, they have a kitchen. They have a full kitchen. So I'm like, okay, I'll give you six wings, right? And
Okay.
it's just standard hot wings. But my dip of choice that I get from CEFCO with my wings is ranch. I gotta go ranch, man. I don't do ranch on pizza. No. But wings, if it's honey barbecue, whatever kind of wing it is, it goes in the ranch first before it goes into the mouth. So
Interesting.
it's a classic. It's a classic. So
Yeah, well, so we said this topic, this conversation would be about sips and dips. We're going to come back to here a lot because y'all know me, I like to snack. So you have a particular grievance of this particular category when it comes to dips? In particular,
I do.
A certain restaurant that that's known for actually a variety of dips.
I do, but you need to say what you're dipping on first. You didn't say.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I'll back up.
No,
I'll back
up. You're good.
We are in Texas, so you got to go with the queso. I got a little blanco tonight. I don't know what the accent is. I'm going with a little white queso blanco from the good old, big and old-fashioned Costco. I think their queso is top tier. So, little chips and dip there with the queso.
Do you prefer the queso blanco or just regular queso?
Like, what's just like good queso. And I have weird standards. Again, it's just like last episode. Everything's subjective.
It is, especially queso. Oh, my goodness.
Right. I can dig a good cheesy queso, but I also love a good, like, loaded queso or even one with, like, some kick. So, you can meet me wherever you're at. I just need to know that it's good for what it's meant to be. So queso blanco to me is always safe. Like it, like something about that, that I can trust a little more. So yeah, maybe.
Okay. We've got time, right? Like we have a few minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a grievance.
I do have a grievance, but do you want to have queso talk real quick? Or do you want to push that on?
Let's hold the audience on queso and take them straight to where I believe you've wanted to talk about this since episode one. You were ready to go out the gate with this. We said, let's wait on it a minute. So,
okay.
What's hurting you?
I'm over the Jesus chicken. I just am. I'm over the Chick-fil-A and I know that
the whole thing.
I am.
Or just the sauce.
No, the whole thing. It starts with the sauce. And here's where it starts with the sauce for me. The dips. In my truck right now.
All of them are just the Chick-fil-A sauce?
Just the mainly the Chick-fil-A sauce. Here's where it starts. True. As a car detailer, I have found more empty Chick-fil-A sauce packets in cars than I care to count. Yeah. Number one. Number two, I have found more empty Chick-fil-A sauce packets in my personal vehicle from my daughter and my wife than I care to remember.
That's fair. Okay.
Now, here's a question to bring you onto the dark side. How many Chick-fil-A sauces are in your pantry right now?
Oh, this is, I actually know the answer to this because I got Chick-fil-A a few days ago. Sometimes you ask for two, they only give you one sauce packet. So I was like, I need one more. I'm a two packet guy per meal.
Yeah, no, went no, the, you know yourself.
Went to the pantry, out, nada, zilch. Couldn't believe it. We're low. But I know your point. Normal day to day, you're gonna have some, probably quite a stack in there. Is my guess.
Yes, yeah. And how many of in your kitchen or in your fridge right now? It's a lot, right?
Right. Okay. Now, do you ever buy the bottles? Because I do like that touch.
At Walmart?
No, you could like buy them at Chick-fil-A, I believe. I believe you could ask them for like a bottle of the sauce.
When's the last time you went into a Chick-fil-A?
Ooh, a while. But it's been a while, but it mainly because of my children. I don't go into anything anymore. We actually, well, I don't want to get carried away, but we don't go in. We went Christmas shopping with the kids, like let them each pick out gifts for us and each other. And but like it was chaos because they, you know, it was such a wonder world of like,
oh my gosh,
because we don't go inside. So like, yeah, no, we do not go in Chick-fil-A much at all. Sadie's making an appearance on the camera right now. And then she would. Yeah. Anyway.
Hey, no. So I have a question on that. Do you feel that it's a travesty that your kids, my kids did, but your kids won't get to experience the wonder of going into a Toys R Us as a kid?
I do. Actually, that hurts me a little bit. It does hurt me a little bit. Because, yeah, it was pretty cool. I also feel like shopping in general was monumental. I know we're getting way off Chick-fil-A, but yes, I'm ashamed about that. Honestly, like they didn't discover going, okay, let's get back to Chick-fil-A, Play Places. They discovered Play Places like a year ago because we lived through the first 4 years of Lincoln's life as a pandemic. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like a weird.
Oh, man.
I mean, he loves it, but like, it's funny that like it's new to him in some degree, you know? So,
oh, speaking
it's
of
a different time for sure.
Totally off topic again, but speaking of play places, mm-hmm. there is a new Sonic by my house. Okay.
Sonic?
New Sonic. Now, I am not a fan of the Sonic food. Sonic drink, good. No. Sonic food.
Man, yeah, agreed.
Okay, check it out. They have a ginormous outdoor play place with four pickleball courts that are lighted.
I've got to come see it. We might have to go film there while sipping on a Sonic.
Dude, it
that
looks...
feels like another...
It looks sick.
Is it done?
Looks sick.
Is it done?
Yeah, it's done. It's like one of the only...
We need to go see that. Well,
it's one of the... Okay, Chick-fil-A. I'm sorry.
We'll go back to Sonic. You're frustrated, like just quality, like you're just over it, sauce packets, everything.
I feel like I get a number. My wife says this. She said,
number
you need
one,
to get
no pickles.
Yeah. How did you know?
Well, that's what you should order.
Okay. That's what I order. She says it's because you only order the same thing that you're over it. Okay, and now it is a number one with no pickles when I'm by myself, but it's a number one with pickles because then I give her my pickles if she's with me.
That's bold. I like pickles, just not on a sandwich, so I'm a number one no pickles guy.
Okay.
I just think that sauce is too strong, or the juice of a pickle is too strong for a sandwich. Anyway.
It gets in the
Very
bread,
important.
Soaks in the bread.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, since you're a number one with no pickles, do you feel like the number one is different at each Chick-fil-A?
Maybe to a degree. If you wanted it, because look, I'm not quite where you are, but I do have a grievance with their chicken breast. I think the filet, I do feel like they are different quality, or the cuts are so bad now. Like it feels like you're not getting. There used to be like
thick,
dominant.
Like
an inch.
Mm-hmm.
And I did hear that they went, I think last year, to the. Using steroids or whatever it is to like kind of cheat the system, grow them faster, whatever it is, bigger, faster, stronger. And like they held out for a long time.
they went to the Kanye.
Yeah, they did. They went. So it's like, that sucks. So it's okay.
Well, even the breading, I feel like, is different. Mm-hmm. Right. 100%. And so,
yeah.
And then I get it, man. Like they have done some awesome stuff with the waiting in line and drive through situation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they have revolutionized, I think, drive just for every, you know, fast food restaurant out there. But hey, look,
still,
we don't want to.
It still takes forever. It takes forever. And I have one more. Can I have one more?
Oh, you think? Really? Wow. Yeah, I didn't know you had so much to get off your chest.
I have one more.
Yeah. Please do.
I feel like it's bad customer service to have all those people
mm-hmm.
with the little check. Like take your order pads and you haven't even gotten up to the menu yet. How do I know what I want? How do I know? Like, you want to know one of the reasons I only order number one?
You rotate?
I haven't seen the menu. I've ordered three cars
so
before
more.
I get to the menu.
Are you an app user? Do you order on that?
Not really. Not a lot.
Let me tell you something. This is the difference between like you raising kids, I think, just before the app generation. And this is where like, so we are Red One signature members. I mean, we're top tier reward members. Okay. But like you share an account, you get the rewards. But here's this. It saves all of your orders. And then if you just simply... you could literally pre-order it, tell it to track your location. This is so bad. The more I say it, you could tell it to track your location. It will, you select drive-through and it just automatically tells them you're in the drive-through. You tell them your name when you get to the pad girl. You don't even have to decide there because you've already decided. It's a good pickup. I'm telling you what, man, you need to try it.
Seriously? I didn't know you could do that. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. That's my fault then.
And sometimes they do curbside. You got to be careful of those because like they'll put you below the delivery or the drive through. I've learned that. I've even talked to these operators. I mean, I know my stuff. Overall, big fan of Chick-fil-A. Love the Kathy family. But I do agree with you. I think that it's time to like, it feels like it slipped. So I agree with you. Is actually my short answer.
Okay, can I ask one more question about drive-thru?
Sure.
Here's I developed a trick. This is dad experience, dad trick. So one of the most stressful moments is when you're driving through with your whole family, mm-hmm. and you're trying to memorize the order that everybody wants, right? Mm-hmm. Or you try to recite it back to the drive-thru person, right? Here's what you and I do. I just roll down the back windows.
Exactly. Yeah.
You tell
saves them. A lot. Yep. I said that's pretty much what I do for sure with Heather at least, because my kids, they're not ordering themselves. But I do agree. I think it's just let them do it. And I think their mics are pretty solid now. I feel like they could hear pretty clearly.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So anyway, we can message us if you think that I am absolutely wrong about Chick-fil-A, but I'm kind of over it. Like when we're like on road trips, let's go Chick-fil-A.
So where are you going? Like for chicken, if you're done with Chick-fil-A, and that's where I'll leave you tonight.
Where am I going? Oh, yeah, Freddy's. Yeah,
you're not even going chicken. But dude, Freddy's is making plays down here in North Texas, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. Now I will go to Chick-fil-A and I'll get it, but I'm like, it's not like the holy grail of everything anymore. I'm kind of
can I actually make a semi-controversial? If I'm gonna actually, because again, it's all the same to me now. Post COVID, I'm doing curbside pickup on my app. Even if it's a sit-down restaurant per se, like more fast food, but sit down. So do you want to know the app or the restaurant that I go to? If I want actually, I think they're making a comeback in food and chicken, particularly.
Are you going to say Wendy's?
No, it's a sit-down restaurant. Again, I'm kind of violating the category because I'm doing a chicken pickup from a sit-down restaurant. But it's all the same. That's my point.
Okay.
Every restaurant now is considered, in my opinion, quick service. Like outside of your like reservations, but my point.
Yeah.
I'm actually doing curbside at Chili's. Dude, triple dippers, those Southwest egg rolls with the crispy chicken tenders with like the Nashville hot, bro, that combo, pretty good.
Let's have restaurant talk next week. Or next sure. episode. Restaurant talk. Because Chili, I have some thoughts on Chili's too.
Okay. Please, let's just, we'll come back to restaurants. We'll talk about okay. Where are we going to next, sir?
Okay, so let's talk Christmas, okay? I discovered that we're depending on when you listen to this, but we're recording it 9 days away from Christmas, right? Okay. So I've discovered that as our kids have gotten older, sitting down to watch Christmas movies, which we did a lot when they were little.
Correct.
There's part of it has kind of run its course. Right, like my 17-year-old's like, we gotta watch Elf again, you know?
Yeah,
and I want your favorite Christmas movie, like right now.
Well, it's tough because I do see that same thing where like the kids are latching on the ones that I didn't really connect with, that maybe Heather did, which I'm totally fine with. But I'm like, that's not my jam. I mean, like, I feel like Christmas Vacation is my go-to, but I can't say that as a dad, like as of young children now, but I could say that is probably my favorite. What about yours?
Oh man, that's not fair. That's so good. I think that's Allison's favorite.
It's so good.
Man, like right now or just forever?
I think all time, your quick cut, because that was my all time.
I'd say it's got to be Elf for me, and I know that may be like, of course it is, you know. Yeah. But I think I also grew up in the generation of just like total Will Ferrell, you know. Like now, so,
here's my question then on this topic: we said Christmas movies, but I do believe it's really just Christmas shows, because I feel like there's some TV specials that you actually want to include in this category when you talk about what's your favorite Christmas movie.
What do you mean?
Same. Okay, for example, right now, ours as a family is actually probably more of a show. Now, they have like extended ones. But like for us right now, it's Charlie Brown. Like Apple TV re-released and like restored, whatever, all the old classics from like the 70s. So they look gorgeous now. And then they actually are redoing new, and it's called The Snoopy Show. And so there's some holiday specials in there for Christmas, and it's good. Like, it looks really good. Yeah, and so I feel like, I'm not saying that would be my all-time, but I do feel like when you ask somebody, what's your favorite Christmas movie? there's times where they can answer like Frosty. Well, Frosty was a TV special, I think, if I remember right.
Oh, you know like what Rudolph. I mean? Like Rudolph.
Yeah, the Rudolph. Old, a great the
claymation
example.
Claymation Rudolph.
Yeah,
stuff.
Actually,
yeah.
It's what, it's like 40 minutes or something. I don't even
remember. Yeah, it's a show.
But I just think that you include shows in and movies in this conversation. But I do love me some Elf. You can't go wrong. And I really hope they don't do what they're doing to Harry Potter where like they reboot it. I don't want a new Elf. Just leave it alone. Just don't touch it again. Because I've heard multiple times, like Will Ferrell's been asked, why won't you do another? He's like, it shouldn't be touched. Like basically I think he's turned down a buttload of money. Because it just shouldn't be touched.
It shouldn't be. And that goes into our sequel talk,
that goes
right?
Into or our like, sequel talk. That's
absolutely.
Right. Episode one, go check it out.
Just leave it alone. Okay. So I overrated Christmas movie. I have one.
Ooh, okay.
Man, I know I'm going to get hate for this.
It's okay. I mean, you're already entering the territory.
What's the, I don't even remember the name of it. What's the, Jimmy Stewart? What's the,
what?
What's the, an angel gets his wings every time a bell rings movie?
Miracle on 34th Street.
No, that's not Miracle on 34th Street. Oh my gosh. This is terrible.
This is like old.
Yeah, the old Jimmy Stewart Christmas movie. I'm going to Google it. Whatever. I can't even think of the name of it. I just think it's overrated, man.
What is this? Oh, It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes, thank you. It's a Wonderful
that's
sad. Life.
They're going to be, well, if that tells you anything, that I don't know that movie very well. I don't think I've seen it in years. I agree. I don't. I actually think it's a part of a, I don't know, a pastime of America. Is that fair to say? Ooh, that feels so un-American to say. And I don't mean that in like a hate way. But like,
no, I agree.
We're just
agree
not
with you.
Connected to it. It's 1946.
Or is it one of those things where it's like, because everybody, like there was a generation that loved it. Every generation after that said they loved it because they had to say they loved it. Like, is that a thing?
Oh, I love this topic. Okay. I feel like the more you get further away from a movie, like when it became a hit or whatever it meant to be for that time, the further away you are from the ideal of whatever that time was for that era. So like this was Christmas for 1940s, like post-World War II. We don't connect with that at all. Like, and I actually argue we struggle to make a good Christmas classic now because we have no earthly idea how to connect as a community or like people together of like planet Earth, like let alone America. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Okay. So then, okay. I'm trying to understand what you're saying. So when you, okay. So when I think of classics now, right? Like recent classics, well, they have Elf.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go. Let's use your favorite. Like you're on the heels of that was off the golden age of SNL, in my opinion. There's multiple golden ages of SNL, but like Will Ferrell, you know the early 2000s era, like very early 2000s. Like that's a golden era. That's,
yes.
So I feel like there was this cultural acceptance of Will Ferrell and what he could do with comedy, and he's still doing it. But my point is, he captured something like right around that time of, it was kind of the end of the 90s. I believe it came out right in 2000 for Elf.
'03.
Okay, so you know, we were all very focused on New York City, right? Like that was 2 years after a very big event, right, for America. I just think Elf came at the right time and in the right way with the right person. Zooey Deschanel now is just kind of wild to look back and see her in that movie to see what she became, to, you know, into a superstar over the next 20 years.
And you had the beginnings of Favreau, right? Like,
Favreau. I mean, he's the godfather of everything in Disney now.
Yeah, he is the godfather. I mean, him and Feige, right? So,
correct.
Okay, but can I grab another one then to ask?
Yes.
The Santa Claus, Tim Allen, is to me great. It is
great. We need to talk. We need to talk. Okay. Kids love Santa Claus right now, and Heather loves Santa Claus too. I think it's a great movie. Tim Allen. It's again, another example. 1994, I believe.
Yep.
Classic. Very definitive of the 90s. Home Improvement. Tim Allen.
The height of his career. Yeah.
However, when you haven't watched Santa, when's the last time you watched Santa Claus?
Last year. I watch it every year. I watch all three of them every year.
I went about a 5-7 year gap without watching it. Turned it on for the first time this year with the kids. They love it. We're watching it like once a week. You know how kids get. They're like, that's the one I want to watch.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There's this, stepping away from it for so long, come back as a dad, like the heavier tone and themes of like divorce and having to go through custody battle, like it was all very whimsical, but it was like kind of heavy. I was like,
schmuck stepdad.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Who is kind of like prudish, but you're like, I also get it because like genuinely, I was like, as a parent, you just do this. You're like, if I had to deal with a spouse, like an ex, that went crazy and thought they were an imaginary figure, how would I handle this? You know what I mean? Like, I went down that road, and it kind of ruined it for me almost in the Christmas spirit, because the Christmas story is funny. It's cute. It's like, there's this insult when you're like, well, it's like little people. It's like, yeah, it's the kids that are the elves, the ones that have all this energy that help Santa. And it's like super cool. Cause it was that was also like, it had very like Spy Kids level action to it, where it's like the kids mm-hmm. can kick the bad guy's butt, you know, like,
they can repel like Mission Impossible. Yes,
like as a 7 to 12 year old, that's incredible. But for me, walking back into it from a couple years removed as a dad, I was like, that's weird. I didn't see that coming. I don't know. I was just kind of taken back by that. You know, obviously it's not meant to be taken too literally.
No, but, so I have a theory on this with movies too, right? Like it's cheaper by the dozen.
Fair.
Okay.
Fair.
That movie is not funny if the kids are behave.
That's right.
There's nothing there. Right. We think it's hilarious because the kids just completely disobey the whole time.
Right.
Right. And so it's like, I see that movie, I'm like, this is like celebrating rebellion, you know? Okay. Yeah. So let me throw one more Christmas movie for you. What about The Christmas Chronicles?
Oh, I don't even know if I can tell you if I've seen that.
The Netflix.
I haven't. I don't. How new is this?
It's.
Oh my gosh. This is with Jeff Bridges.
Yeah. And Goldie Hawn. Yeah,
I've never seen this. How new is this?
It's 2018. Weird. It's pretty good, and there's a second one. It's pretty good and okay, right? Okay. Like it's
I don't know about this one.
Oh, you gotta check it out.
All right, homework, maybe that's our recap. Maybe that's our what I meant to say was because I'll tell you this from the looks of what I just Googled. There's no way this is good. There's no way. Rotten Tomatoes, 67%. I mean, that's Anchorman percentage accuracy. So,
it's solid. It's a solid. Like you said, Christmas movies are hard to make, right?
Can I challenge to wrap up movies? Can I challenge you to something?
Yeah.
Should we do a whole conversation one night down the road just about Will Ferrell? Because I feel like he might deserve it. I think he might deserve a whole one.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Home Alone.
Love it. Love Home Alone. Home Alone 3, actually, I think you sleep on too. I love Home Alone 1, 2, and 3. Anything after 3, I do not consider at all canon. There's 4 and 5, by the way. There's 2 more. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh yeah, we have the box set because those were.
We're not even gonna waste breath on 4 and 5 here tonight. But 1 and 2 are pure, like
so good.
Yeah, I'd watch them right now. I do think that replayability, rewatchability, Home Alone might be actually near the top. Like I couldn't watch. I don't think I could watch Elf. Like. Literally finish it and start it over. I could almost do that with Home Alone, not because I think it's that good, but just it just feels like it lands easy. You know what I mean?
It's adventurous, right? Like you have a multi-level adventure going on that the whole time. Where like Elf is just it's repeatable, so you want to wait for that line. You want to hear that line. You know, I'm here with my dad. Like you're waiting for that line so you can laugh at it, and then you're gonna go back.
Yeah,
they're wrapping the presents for the next 3 minutes, and then you're going to focus on the next line that you want to repeat. You know what I mean? Like it's. Well,
As you can see, we're very serious about Christmas movies. So
yeah, sorry, like that's that. A tangent.
It's okay. That's okay. That's I do like.
I'm
that.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, I now like I do have a question. Change topic for you.
Yeah.
You have no tattoos.
None.
Okay. No. I explain to me why not.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't say you don't put a bumper sticker on a Ferrari.
I was not going to go there. I wish I'm very picky. Very picky about design or like the thought of what a tattoo and its permanence would be. I think there's a day. I think that if the day happens that I do get ink, I'll just go crazy the other way and be like, here's my sleeve. Oh. I have nothing against it. I actually would love a sleeve if I could just like snap my fingers. Everyone explains pain a little differently. And so with tattoos, you all are like, oh yeah, it's not a thing. And some of you are like, oh, it's terrible.
Some Who of says you are it's like, terrible.
My sister. She says it's terrible.
Mm.
Yeah, so some of you make it sound just not fun. So I don't know who to believe, but I just can't find anything that I really want to land on. But now you have, I believe, a handful. Is that correct?
I don't count mine in number of tattoos anymore.
Okay. Now it's mine, just like...
It's areas.
Areas, region.
Yeah. And so I've got kind of a band on my right forearm, some stars and some dates. Left forearm has an eagle with a lightning bolt.
Yep.
That is the Spartan 2 program.
Man, the fact that you called me out for Star Wars last week and nerddom, and you've got two tattoos for Halo.
And
it's hard to beat, sir.
Yeah, I know. And I got my kids and my wife, they wrote their names on my arm.
See, I like and that. It's really
got
cool.
Those tattoos. And then I have my mom wrote my ex-sister-in-law. She found a Bible in their boxes of stuff that actually was my Bible.
Nice.
And it was my Bible for when I was 8.
That's cool.
And my mom had written a note in there. And I got two of the sentences tattooed.
That's cool. I don't think I've seen that one. I'll have to, yeah.
Yeah, like you probably don't notice it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then, of course, my wedding ring. Allison's initials are tattooed on the finger, and then the big Master Chief tattoo. So
now, I'm not going to put you on the spot and be like, how much in total did all this cost? But, like, does the number factor in? Like, obviously it does because it's like you can't spend unlimited. But, like, is that part of the decision process, or is it more when you have the idea of what you want? I'm curious. Like, are you ready? You're like, the cost does not come into thought in terms of, like, this is what I want to get next.
It does. It totally does.
Okay, so it does. Okay.
It didn't for me, but it didn't for the ones that I have right now. Right. But it actually does come to play. So what comes more into play for me is I didn't get my first one until I was 30. Okay. I had an idea for 5 years, and I pretty much wait years from idea to getting it. That way it's like, if it haunts me, then I'm going to get it. Right. So I don't have that many. I mean, I don't look tatted up necessarily. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I can hide them pretty easily. Yeah, but the it's weird. The Master Chief tattoo, I was getting one of the ones on my forearm. My tattoo artist, her name's Crashly, Crashly Ink, Fort Worth. She's incredible.
Shout out. That's her shout out of the night.
Shout out of the night. She was working on, she's huge into video games, her and her husband. Mm. And I look over and there's this Master Chief artwork. And I was like, dude, that's sweet. That would be a really cool tattoo. She's like, yeah, I drew that. I'm like, you did? And then, you know, of course, we're having the conversation. I'm like, wow, that'd be a sweet tattoo. And before I know it, literally before I know it, there is a transfer paper with it being put on my arm to look at how to shape it on my arm.
There you go.
And I was like, whoa. I was like, hold on.
How many sessions?
4 sessions of 8 hours a piece.
Here's a cool, there's a story to it though. So, there's actually two fun stories to it that I don't know if you know. So the transfer tape goes on. I'm like, whoa, hold on. This is, I would go from like these little small bands around my forearms to like a lot of ink.
Right.
Not sure about this. And how much is this going to be? Mm-hmm. And the store owner said, or the whatever owner said, hey, well, if she submits this to this convention, we'll do it for free.
No way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I was like, oh, that totally changes it. It's like, okay, let me wear this transfer,
wow,
the transfer ink on my arm for about 2 weeks and then figure out if there's any changes I'd want to make and get used to it. Did all that. Talked to Allison about it. And she was like, I don't really like it. And I was like, oh. And she's like, but do what you want to do. Now, what do you think when someone says that?
Oof. I mean, I know what I would have done, and I think I know what you did.
So
what's funny, you tell me.
So I was like, okay. So about 3 days later, she said, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I really want to get it. She said, okay, do whatever you want. And so I went and got it started. And the next, after that, I got it started and I got home, she was like, I'm really glad that you did that. And I said, why? She said, because I truly meant do whatever you want. She wasn't trying to play games or anything. Mm-hmm. She just really meant do what you want. And the fact that I still did what I want, even though she didn't like it, she actually liked that individuality in our marriage. And so that was pretty cool. But no, dude. So here's the craziest. So on day session four was at the Fort Worth Convention Center at a massive body convention. Art convention. Yeah. And I'm sitting on a stage.
I love that you repped Cody's of all kinds at a tattoo convention. I just love that.
I sat on a stage in a like blocked off area for 8 hours.
Man.
Her tattooing the whole time.
Yeah, that's sick.
And I this was just my experience with tattoos. When you hit to hour 5.5 to 6, it's so raw that it feels like she's like they're sticking salt into like a wound. Like it feels like she's just like your raw meat at that point.
That's incredible level of endurance. And then also on her end, like to work, I don't think I could work my hands at that level of precision for like 4 hours.
Man,
like the I could picture that is like writing an essay with the SAT. You know what I mean? Like that's crazy. Oh,
yeah. And like, so people are paying to walk up and watch her tattoo my arm.
Do you have footage?
And I'm trying to sit there. No, I don't. Dang. I don't. Because dude, it was cool. I had a really interesting conversation with her during this sitting there. And she's a Christian. She's her and her husband. She's got, I think they have 3 kids, and and he's a really really cool guy too. And but I was curious because most tattoos, I would assume, this is what I asked her, are people's like super intimate things.
Right.
Right. And what is it like to instantly be put into and be a part of that intimate into their thing? World.
That's fair.
And she said it just caught her off guard. She hadn't had anybody ask that. But like,
you're getting to ink this person's like deepest, most important memories, thoughts, feelings. That's a powerful tool moment.
Yeah.
I have always said, speaking a shout out to the bro from last episode, I've always told him, if you want to design a tattoo, I'd let him do it. He's pretty good with stakes. However, he is even better with the paintbrush, with the airbrush. Yeah,
we commissioned him to do. He's doing some shoes for Tate.
He's great with shoes. So
his running shoes he's doing for Tate for Christmas.
Yeah, but that's probably the only. Actually, that's probably a big initiative for me. Like, would be something meaningful like that, where like I knew the artist or something like that, you know, and try to collab on it. So yeah, we'll see.
Sibling tattoos.
You know, he was definitely. It's not that I'm opposed to it, but I'm like, I don't know if that's the first one I want. You know, the first one I think I want, like, I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. Oh, you know what you need? Here's what you need. And by the way, if we, oh, we need to go get tattoos together and record while we're getting tattoos. Oh, that's gosh. What we need to
I'm
do.
A wimp. I think, I don't know if you want to hear that audio.
Dude, it's not
we can
that,
think about it.
It's not that bad. It's okay. Really not that bad. Especially okay. where you get it. Like, it's okay. Not that bad.
Well, you don't know where I'm going to get my first one.
Okay.
Let's take it.
Oh, you need to figure out something that's got your kids' yeah. names and Star Wars.
Heather,
like, you gotta
it'll
combine.
Be Heather and the kids. Actually, it'll probably be Faith, Heather, the kids, probably Star Wars. Yeah, that order. That feels about right. I actually did look pretty deep into some Star Wars tattoos at one point. So that was before I was married, just to clarify.
Hey, you know Brett? Brett?
Yeah, yeah.
Brett has an idea of getting, he's a huge Harry Potter guy. Okay. He has the idea of getting the Marauders map tattooed on his whole forearm, but it has his kids walking.
That's
like,
sick.
Their like names that. And I their feet like walking. So
yeah, see those are creative to me. I like those.
Yeah.
All right. Final one, which honestly, I think the further along we get, you see how big of nerds we are. And so this last conversation of the night, we wanted to go somewhere, which honestly is just a theme for every category, I think, of hobby or activity as you get older. But we in particular wanted to ask the question, gaming, why is it so much harder as you get older? Aside from the point that your hand-eye coordination is just going to go on the downhill. I just think it sucks. Like, it's so hard. And it's a combination of time, skill, just life gets in the way. I don't know. Like, hit me with it. Like, where are you at?
On getting gaming and getting older?
Yeah, gaming and getting older.
Man, I don't know. It's weird. It's different. It just
like it loses
is.
Priority, and it should. I'm not saying it should stay.
Yeah, but absolutely.
I think the majority of American male and a lot of female, like that demographic has definitely shifted to more in the middle. But like you, if you grew up in from like 1998 to like now, gaming, Call of Duty, Fortnite, Minecraft, Mario Party, Nintendo, I don't know. You probably touched a game, Pokemon. Like, it's so mainstream now that everyone's gamed. It's just a matter of how what you did. Was it a casual game? Was it kind of like a mid-core, hardcore? You know what I mean? And like, there's this weird, it's kind of always been a part of your life in the last 25, 30 years mm-hmm. in America.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't participate in it, you now actually even know, it's pretty mainstream to know gaming culture, even if you're not a gamer. Like the Mario movie just came out, right? A lot of people love that based on a game. You just stated like, I mean, for crying out loud, Fallout, dude, phenomenal TV series. Have you seen it?
No, I mean, I've seen.
Okay. Based on a video
of it.
Yeah. Last of Us. I mean, like, it's very common for basically every part of culture or somebody that follows, you know, entertainment to know about gaming. But as you get older, there's just this awkward, like, it's kind of like a really slow breakup over time where you're like, I want this to be a part of a life because it's honestly where a lot of my friendships are, like where a lot of my like deep conversations like this happen. But like, there's just not a lot of time for it. Like, forget it. And if there is time for it, it's probably in the middle of the night and or like staying up late. Good luck. I can't stay up.
Oh, and you're just exhausted.
Yeah, right? Like I'm drinking this Dr. Pepper right now and I will be able to fall asleep in 10 minutes after drinking it if I wanted to. I mean, I it does nothing, and which is a sad admission. I don't drink these a lot, but like, yeah, it's just hard to stay up. So gaming, it's hard. I feel like I'm slowly letting it go as I should. Like there's a lot to life, but I'm also like a lot of my good memories from childhood are from gaming, right? With boys.
Man, I completely agree. I mean, from the Halo LAN parties, right?
Oh.
Like moving TVs.
Oh my gosh. Dude, and, see, we did live in the LAN era. There's that era special.
From that to I mean, my gamer tag is from when Xbox Live, before it was even public, it's still the same gamer tag. And so
that's
that whole
crazy.
Thing.
Crazy.
But yeah, we, I mean, 8 hours straight
used to not be anything, right? And obviously, like you were saying, with maturity, it should go away. Not maturity, that sounds negative, but like as you get older, meaning like not mature out of it.
It is more accepted than ever, I think, or tolerated or accepted, one of the two.
Yeah.
Of like being able to have like I know I have buddies that their dads are almost 60 and they actually still play Halo. Like seriously.
Oh, Nick's dad?
Yeah. I mean, multiple people in my life have dads that like still game because they were kind of like they're older Gen X's, right? Like you're Gen X in that range.
Yeah.
But those borderline, like just under or just younger than, I want to call them boomers.
There's boomers.
Is it the boomer? I mean, it's such a funny word now. I'm thinking about it. But like my parents, it's just younger than them. That gamed, right? They were part of the Atari, you know, generation and arcades, and they've just kept gaming their whole life. So I feel like it's acceptable now to do it.
Okay, but obviously tired, right? With families and all that. That's part of the reason it's hard. And it changes. But yeah. I also, if I have 4 hours to kill.
Yeah.
And I hop on a game after about an hour, I'm kind of like, I guess
that's fair.
I could go do something else.
There's definitely different types of games for me. Like some are relaxing and those I could play a good amount of time. But like if we're jamming like a strong competitive game and there's like 4 or 5 of us just rocking, dude, I'll lose track of time still to this day. And it's no bueno, but boy, is it awesome in that moment. You're like, there's spurts of those old like LAN party vibes for sure.
Do you remember when me and Brian Hodges used to, what was that game we played? Was it Ghost Recon?
Ghost Recon 2.
Yeah.
Man. Yes. It was one of those that it was hyper realistic and we dialed that bad boy in.
Oh.
Have you ever had a game? I have one game where you, and I'm not going to name it till the end, where, because I don't even think you'd know it, but we learned about it. It was Nick and I. We lived together at the time. We learned about it. We bought it at like 8, 9 p.m. one night. We were so hooked on the campaign. I miss a good campaign. We literally played till 5:30 in the morning on a work night and beat it.
Oh my gosh.
There was a time where my buddy Nick and I, we lived together in the same house, married for 7 months with our wives. We shared a house. It was awesome. And we played a game. I mean, our wives got up to like make breakfast and like start the coffee and they were like, what are you doing? Like, why are you still? It was this game called, yeah, I mean, it's insane. I mean, this was a sad adult admission I just explained to you. I was probably 26, 25. Yeah.
What game was it?
So again, very obscure game. It's creepy and like I think it was just the right season that we were both like very into it. It was called Inside. And I'll do a very brief premise. It's side scroller and you just drop into this game, no explanation. And you're this like kid and you're running left to right and being chased by these dogs and cops. And then you just keep going deeper into this rabbit hole. And you're like, what is happening? Like that's literally how the game starts. And that's the ending will actually make you angry. It's one of those, like it hooks you. I can't even explain it. You got to go try it out. It's weird. Crazy. Yeah. It's a weird game. It would never be, I would never want to play this type of game if I knew that's what the game was, but just going into knowing nothing was such a hook. And we were both, I mean, man, love a good game like that.
Really?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
No, I mean, if we're talking about kind of like embarrassing omission of gaming.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how good I accidentally got at Halo 4, and with kids, I think that's a
hard omission for
so
sure.
Like, yeah, that's where it gets sad because. Mm-hmm. With littles even that's where, so yeah, I, I, I have competed in a tournament and was ranked way higher than I care to admit in this moment.
Yeah, that's tough. I tell you what, there's been a really cool like transformation where I'm a sucker for a good tabletop game, card game, board game. Like we love, and you do too. We love board game nights, right? Like that's the spirit, I think, of we love friendly competition that engages in like a fun social setting. And I love this like era where they're converting the tabletop games and card games so where you can play them online. Because like there's some 4-hour board games like your Monopolies that I'll play online. And dude, it's a great time.
What game introduced you to that world? Because there was a game that introduced us to that world that
online or tabletop?
Tabletop.
You mean tabletop?
Yeah.
I mean, I always grew up around. I had great grandparents when I was younger that would have us over for dominoes and like your card, every card game you could think of, solitaire. Like I learned all those things when I would get verification if you needed, but like 6, 7, I was young. And I was inserted into the tabletop world of like your you know previous era, so I was hooked from the get go.
But I consider that like family game, like picnic type. Like,
so you mean like a board game?
But like an actual like board game, because like Hit for me. Us it was dude, when someone introduced us to Pandemic.
Okay, I so mean, you're talking a more strategy, like kind of like it's a board game.
Yeah. And I mean, there's Monopoly only one answer. And stuff like that when you're little and how great that is.
There's one answer to this question.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Settlers of Catan.
Yeah, Catan. So good.
Catan. It's, you can't beat it. I have it on mobile. I have it on my iPad. I have it on my MacBook. I have it on my desktop.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. I have 3 different versions of the base board game. I have all of the expansions. And I even have a travel size that bundles up into like a little like large purse size, like that you could sneak into like a backpack. Dude, I am dialed.
No way.
Yeah, in fact, at work.
You are ridiculous.
Yeah, at work, I had a trophy, like a 12-inch trophy, 3D printed from all of the Catan like game component designed and printed for a league. We literally generated a league where everybody had to play a certain amount of games that had to be 4 players, and if you won, you got 3 points. Second and third were 1 point, and then fourth place got no points. And then there was literally playoffs, and you won the trophy. I mean, like, it was deep.
I have apologized for not saying much right now. I'm sure. Kind of in shock.
Yeah, well, you know, I think we can find a common theme here. Ergo. Cody, this one particularly, but I think Cody's are addictive in personality and nature, where when they latch onto something, they take it to the nth degree, for better or for worse.
That's crazy. Okay,
well,
so
it's a good time. I'll show you that. We're gonna post. I don't think we did a good job of this last time, but we're gonna post pictures of your tattoo this week on our channels, and then we're gonna also post. I'll post a picture of the trophy. Because it's pretty sick. Like, the trophy kind of has, like, a World Cup vibe to it. But then there's, like, little sheep and little prick, like, on the side. It's awesome. It's actually a really in-depth trophy.
Okay, can I blow your mind on something?
Please.
It's so great. It's just a great thing. When your kid falls in love with that stuff.
I do like that. Yeah.
Because like Fortnite with kids,
Tate, yeah.
Actually, Fortnite with Tate is good.
Oh,
Fortnite with Ellie is a
really amazing. See, that gives me hope. That's awesome,
dude. I don't know what happened. I don't know why. I don't know how. Yeah. But when we play, we'll win 7 games in a row.
That's so good. Now, I'm curious because you're a little ahead of me in this category for sure. Like, introducing games to the kids. Like you brought up a great rule from Allison last time where like in the car they have to read a certain amount of minutes and that's how many screen time minutes they get. Was it ever like she knew you and how nerdy you are with video games? Like we actually like we would hang out and play like Rock Band and games with
Allison. Oh, that's so right. Yes.
So she's pretty chill about a good like family game night game. Like
yes.
Great time. But was there ever like a conversation of like, hey, with our kids, this is how I feel about gaming. Like, what was that like?
Yes. So we did have those type of conversations, especially because it started around Fortnite.
Right.
That was shooter. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Some kind of shooter. Mm-hmm. So there was discussion. So basically the way we took it was if he can handle a movie that has that stuff in it, he can handle a game. It was more of like,
yeah.
So if you look at like a Star Wars, right? There's shooting in Star Wars. Right. There's people getting hit. There's sword fights. There's good guys, bad guys. And so for him, it was, and again, that's different for every kid.
Sure.
And this is just what we did. So, no judgment if you did something different.
Yeah.
It was about the age of, nine.
Yes. Yeah, was right when Fortnite came out. Got it.
Yeah. Well, so around the age of nine was the start of him like watching Star Wars.
Gotcha. So it was that. Okay. So 10. Call it 9, 10.
Yeah. And then he got through the first three Star Wars at 9.
Now, hey, real quick clarifier. You mean 4, 5, and 6?
The first Star Wars? Yes. 4, 5, and 6.
I approve of that order.
And then. And then got through the other ones, 1, 2, and 3, technically. And I remember, let's see, he was in, I believe he was 10 when we went to The Force Awakens.
Nice.
And so it was pretty much right about 11. 10 or 11.
Yeah.
When it was like, okay, you're watching a little bit of like, I think he watched his first Marvel movie around 11. And it's like, okay, if you can handle that, you can handle cartoon type Fortnite game.
Yep. Well, let me ask you this. Cause to go full circle, there's a lot of, the people that I still hang out with call friends that are maybe, not quite to the kid stage, but that are living their 20s, you know, 30s, whatever, single, enjoying the time of their life gaming. And I am quite jealous of all the hours that they have spare. However, I want to know, I mean, you and I were quite the gamers. Let's just say pre-kids, because we gamed a lot when we were married pre-kids too. Do you, and we can end this, round this one out with this. Do you regret how much you have gamed in your life?
Dude, that's so good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably gonna say yes. But here's where I land on that. When I did a lot of my heavy gaming, would have been the perfect time to have been an intern somewhere or to like that kind of 19, 20, 21, right? Like when you're paying your dues in something or somewhere. I gamed quite a bit when I could have been investing in myself. And so I would say that's a great question, bro.
That's tough.
But I also think about all the good memories I had.
Right. Yeah, I, you know, it's in a Cody to answer a question, not straightforward. So I would say no, because of there really is a lot of important moments in my life that happened through gaming. Like I think some of our deepest conversations in our 2 decades of friendship have come like actually a now ton that,
okay,
of them.
That's right? True. That's
so I'm going to say no. However, I hate and I regret the times I picked to game. I was very bad at letting it, like not knowing when to hang it up a particular day, a particular evening. Like, I just, you know, you get, you make excuses of like, I'm just going to keep doing this. And so I think, you know, I missed the mark in many areas in that regard, but like overall, like, you know, there's some things in my life that I look back on. I'm like, I mean, I think everybody can name a few and we don't have to get into them, but you look back, you're like, yeah, I regret that I did any of that. But like for gaming, there's quite a bit of bright spots for me. And I think it led to where I'm at, right? Like with my life. I mean, it's literally impacted me in that way where there's a time where it was my entire full-time job was gaming and esports. So, I mean,
well, and that's, I don't know, man. I mean, there are a lot of great times in there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a guy in Pittsburgh that his life story is pretty horrific.
Yeah.
He's very, very ill. Mm. And just that's the hand that he was dealt. But big, huge Halo fan. Mm. And met him online. His name's Sal. And
yeah, I played with him.
Yeah, and then him and I had a very, like, I say long conversation. I mean, like, months long conversation about Jesus and all that stuff. And really, God used that time to kind of, I don't want to get too deep into it, but, like, kind of transform some things going on in his life through us playing Halo.
Yeah.
So there's just times like that. So I mean, unfortunately, being able to beat the snot out of everybody in video games as a youth pastor didn't hurt.
Right? Like, it's so true. It's so true. Yeah.
That was not a negative.
I think, too, like, living in the era of the internet and, like, digital natives and people that just, your life is, for better or for worse, a lot more worse, probably, but it's online. Like, for whatever reason, we got comfortable breaking barriers down, you know, I think in depth and in relationships online. And
yeah,
like as a dude, I think you like to be able to do something. It's like I could go throw the ball with you right out in the backyard and talk, or I could game. We could smash the ever living daylight out of that team and, you know, or that squad, whatever. So I don't know what it is. I think boys just want to be able to do something, right? Like feel like they're doing something while they're talking, and it works. So for better or for worse, it's there. And I don't know how long it can be, to be honest, because it was like for you and I to commit to this conversation, this podcast was like, I'm gonna, you know what? Let's dedicate the small spare time we have towards something that we wanted to do together. So, you know, pumped to be here. And,
well, real quickly, my view of it, part of it is that it's a hobby, right? Mm. And so that's where I think it can be dangerous is if it's like anything, you have got golf, if someone's playing golf, but they're ended up missing stuff and disconnecting from the world playing golf, then that's a problem, you know, or whatever the hobby is. And so I think it's just like anything. It's got to be in context.
Yeah.
And it's got to be in moderation, you know.
Just but like I do Dr. think, Pepper or Cherry Coke.
Or Chick-fil-A.
I do. When's the last? Can we just round this bad boy out? When's the last time you had Chick-fil-A? Like recently?
I believe it was probably within the last month. Yeah.
I wonder how long you could go without having it. I'm kind of curious, you know?
Okay. Well, here's the problem with that. The problem is that when we go to, after Christmas, when we go to Kansas, to the farm, to the barn up there, we stop at Chick-fil-A in Norman, Oklahoma every time.
I tell you what,
I could not eat it.
You could take a cue from my father-in-law and just go get a second restaurant.
Oh my I have thought about that so much.
I know. It's wild.
Is that because he had three girls and a wife in the car?
Four girls.
Oh my gosh. Is that because he had four girls in the car?
And a wife in the car. Yeah. I'm sure. I definitely don't think if you had four boys, Heck no. You know what? I tell you what, Craig, I'd love for you to tell me, if you had four boys, would you do the same thing? That's my challenge to you. I'm not saying it's wrong. In fact, I think you're a saint. I wish I had it in me. But I'm just like, you're right. That's a great point. It's a great
point. There are things that other dads or husbands do that I find admirable that I will never do.
Well, having two girls and one boy, I will say, I can already see my parenting suffer in terms of like giving in to the girls more so than I do to Lincoln. So it must be something about just being a dad, like wanting to roll the red carpet out for that girl.
Man, good conversation. So, okay. So next time.
Where are we going?
Okay. So next time.
And we should say, hey, you know, we said we would do this podcast anywhere. So we meant it. And sometimes it's at home because that's all we got. Well, we're happy to be here. So next time. Yeah. Hit me.
Yeah. Well, so we are, hey, we could, if we post this on the Soch, mm-hmm. come hang out. We'll have the address out there, but we are going to be at, my car detail shop.
That's right.
In Decatur. We're going to be set up in there. We're doing some more live stuff, but it's going to be a blast. We're going to have the Cybertruck out.
Mm-hmm.
We will also,
it might need a wash, to be honest. I'll wash it. You don't have to, but it does need a wash.
We could throw a little live ASMR stuff to it.
We could do it. Yeah. We'll figure something out.
I do have a surprise for you, sir, that day. I do. I have a surprise set up for you on that day.
Okay, I can't wait.
Should we have Tesla talk? We can have Tesla talk.
Like Elon or Tesla talk? Which one?
Which one do you want?
Well, I do feel like the first person to get their whole topic, like a whole topic, is like, you know, like a Will Ferrell, Elon. Like they are of that stature, but
yeah, for sure.
Maybe. Yeah, we'll have Tesla talk, but just like, I think it's just the whole car combo. Like that's a whole topic we're going to hit of like Tesla, car ownership, how many cars you should have, how many is too many, why are we so attached to cars in our own way? Because like, I can't own one more than like 3 years. So I'm going to have Heather will kill me if I can't say that. Heather will be very upset if I get rid of this truck in 3 years. So I promise you I won't. But like you and I, yeah, we want to talk cars.
Okay. We'll talk cars.
We'll figure out what we're going to do. Talk cars.
Let's do it. Well, guys, okay. Hey, I tell you what, you made it through three episodes. You either skip to the end, and like I always say, I don't approve of that, or you hung with us, and we're so glad you did. I can't believe it. But I tell you what, we're having really fun conversations with you guys. I'm getting like some good questions, some good thoughts, some good triggers to the next convo. So we love you being here. So and of course, Cody, thank you for being here.
Dude, thanks, brother. Everybody, thank you for joining us at our little fireside chat. And can't wait to hang out next time. And y'all have a, I guess, a Merry Christmas, right?
Yeah, and a Happy New Year. Or, you know, here we go.
Thanks for joining us on Codified.
See ya. Codified, where we come alive. In the hum of every day, we strive. With the ordinary, we find our grace. An exceptional average in this space. Through morning dew and twilight's haze, we navigate these muddled days. From heartland fields to city lights, we walk the road through days and nights. Every moment a chapter new, with voices bright and stories true. Listen close and you will find the beauty in the common kind. Codified, where we come alive. In the hum of every day we strive. With the ordinary we find our exceptional average in this space.
chapter new. With voices bright and stories true. Listen close and you will find the beauty in the common kind. Codified, where we come alive. In the hum of every day we strive. With the ordinary we find our grace. An exceptional act.